I'm living a movie, not living by rules. It's just a movie, don't lose your cool.
Konnichiwa, and welcome to another episode of Spoiled Movie Reviews, where the motto of the show is for people who've seen the movie, don't ever plan on seeing the movie, or just don't give a fuck because we spoil things. And today's episode is about The Heat. That's right. I'm never alone. I always bring guests. I don't review movies by myself like a crazy person. I have in the house with me Karen from the Blackout Tips and Lip Smacking Good. What's up, Karen? How you doing?
Hey, everybody. How y'all doing?
Good, good. Karen did not see The Heat, but mm-mm, she just wants to be here to give her opinion.
Mm-hmm.
and we also have Andrew Johnson of Film Geek Radio, who I've been on his podcast, Cinema Fix, before. And people have heard us argue about Superman. What's going on, Andrew?
I'm doing pretty good. I feel kind of bad, though, Rod, because it seems like every time you and I talk about movies, I don't like the movie quite as much as you. So I feel like people are going to feel like I'm just some big hater that hates everything.
Well, you know, one day we'll have to have you come on and talk about a movie you like that I hate. And I'm sure there's a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then it'll be the opposite. They'll be like, Rod's a dick. So, but today's movie is The Heat. And let me tell you guys something. The albino dude is not, absolutely not, the bad guy. Okay, I know you think he is, he's not. But we, I went and saw this movie. It stars Sandra Bullock and Melissa McCarthy as a buddy cop duo. I enjoyed it a lot. We'll talk about it. Ashburn is an FBI agent who is extremely ambitious, played by Sandy Bullock, America's sweetheart. It has her eye out on a promotion, but she doesn't get along with her coworkers. Nobody likes her. She is a mean person. She is sent to Boston to find out who an elusive drug dealer is by getting to the man who's fronting for him, and is told that she'll have a good shot at a promotion if she can find who the dealer is. When she arrives in Boston, she learns that the dealer has been eliminated by his competition and taken over their operations. And she learns that a dealer in Boston Police Department custody, she knows that there is a dealer there. And so she goes to check on him. And Melissa McCarthy says, hey, that's my caller. And she is a loose cannon, y'all. She is the kind of police officer that gets things done the down and dirty way, not by the book. Okay, everyone's afraid of her. See, that's the thing, because Ashburn, it's like the Odd Couple. She gets things done by the book, textbook only. She's one of those people that,
like, if it, that's what it says we do, that's what we do.
Exactly. So she's about the rules, and Mullins is like, fuck the rules. So then it goes on to become a buddy cop movie as they try to track down who actually is the ruthless drug lord behind everything. Like, chaos and hilarity ensue. Let's talk about what worked for this movie. Karen, what worked for The Heat for you?
Well, from what I saw from the preview, for me, I did not realize it was rated R. And so that's why I was like, I didn't know if I wanted to go see it.
Mm-hmm.
But listening to you, it sounds like a movie that I now want to go see, because like you said, a lot of the stuff, they couldn't show in the previews, because at first I was like, I don't know. It don't really, I mean, cause I got the buddy cop thing, and I got that it was going to be a comedy, but the way it sounded, like, Sandra Bullock and holds her own in this one.
All right. So, what worked for Karen was, wait, that's what didn't work. The preview not being rated R enough did not work for you.
Oh, that did not work for me.
Yeah.
What worked for me was the comedy. That's about it. You know, because it looked like it was going to be funny. But no, I'm saying it.
I know what you mean, but okay. It's still a thing that didn't work.
Okay.
Andrew, what worked for you in this movie, The Heat?
Melissa McCarthy worked for me. I actually really like her. I think she's a great comedic actress. I think when you're, to be blunt, when you're an overweight person like she is, I think it's very easy to get kind of typecast, or for writers and directors to only use you in a certain type of comedy. And I think Melissa McCarthy's done a really good job of picking a diversity of roles and just kind of just really throwing herself into whatever she chooses. And I really like her when she's in projects that don't just rely on her physical appearance as every single punchline. And thankfully, The Heat is not one of those movies, and it really does allow her to kind of stretch some comedic legs. And she fully commits. There's a scene early on where she's chasing a culprit, and she tackles him over a fence. Mm-hmm. Basically, and she just hits the ground, and I felt really bad for her because I was like, wow, I think if I did that, I would break my leg. But she did it, and I don't think there was a stunt person involved, and I was just really impressed by how she threw herself into the role.
Yeah. Also in that scene, she tackles the culprit. He's a black dude who calls her racist earlier. She tackles him by throwing a watermelon at him and knocking him down.
Ah!
And I appreciate the movie going there because that was funny. And when he got hit with the watermelon, that was the first thing I fucking thought. And then when she said it, I was like, when he goes, that's racist. I was like, yes, that is good. Thank you. I'm tired of people skirting around that shit. That was a good joke.
I liked how they kind of played with your expectations. Like, obviously, it's sort of spoofing a lot of these male buddy cop movies where frequently there will be at least one of the guy cops who is a real womanizer and has a lot of one-night stands. And here they kind of flip your expectations a bit where Melissa McCarthy keeps encountering people that she slept with. And the guys are usually really clingy and they want to start a relationship and she just has to turn them down. And meanwhile, Sandra Bullock, America's sweetheart, as you mentioned, she's not getting laid at all. Mm-hmm. And I kind of liked that twist.
Yeah, she's so oblivious to everything about her career. Marlon Wayans is playing a guy who's, you know, tried to be a love interest in this movie, and she just doesn't even, like, she just sees right past that shit. She's like, nope, I don't want to be with you. It's all about my career, and I'm good. So that was kind of a funny thing to me was that she was the one who you think would constantly be getting hit on and stuff. She was not. Okay. So as obviously Ms. Melissa McCarthy killed this shit. I agree. But I also think, Sandy Bullock threw herself into this role because she plays from uptight to ratchet. And I was convinced along the way, and she was willing to do some really silly shit to get some laughs. And I mean really silly, man. Like, there's a point where, like, they showed a little bit in the bathroom scene with the Spanx and stuff in the trailer, but, like, that scene, that's, like, probably the least silly part of that scene, because later she's in the club, like, clinging on this dude, and the guy who plays the person she's trying to, you know, infiltrate and get his phone, he was good to me, too, because he kept saying fucked up shit to her. he's like calling him old and shit. And when they see him later in the movie, he's like, oh, man, you guys look worse every time I see you. You especially look old out here in the sun, like without the club light. And I was just like, oh, man, like, it was so good. I enjoyed everything about the gender jokes, because even some of the, like, not obvious jokes that are just like, well, this is what they do in every male buddy cop movie. We're just going to do it with women. And it like, to me, it kind of hit it on the nose, which is those movies are fucking ridiculous, too.
Mm-hmm.
But when you see it when women do it, it's even more ridiculous, because you're like, oh, man, those movies are, like, I just kept thinking of every other buddy cop movie I've watched and went, man, those movies are kind of the same, aren't they? It's a lot of satire to be had picking on that genre movie, which is another genre movie I grew up worshiping. This movie reminded me a lot of The Other Guys, and I can see good for good and bad. Like, for people that don't like The Other Guys, I can see how they could be like, yeah, fuck this movie too. And for people that love The Other Guys, I can see how they could be like, yeah, I love this movie. Because it's all about picking on the tropes of the buddy comedy thing. I love Mullen's interaction in the office with her coworkers, especially the police, captain, she is emasculating this dude so bad. At one point, like, she throws something at his head. She opens up the door to the office and starts saying, I'm looking for his balls. Has anybody seen his balls? A tiny little, like maybe the size of a ball bearing, maybe like mouse balls, but tinier. And you know, it's like, because in these movies they do, like, the loose cannon detective always does this shit. Yeah. But it's a dude, so we're just kind of like, he just really wants to solve the case. But when it's like Melissa McCarthy, you're kind of like, one, it's hilarious, but two, like, wow, you're being a real dick right now. So I enjoyed that. I thought her family was great. Bill, they're not in it enough for me. Like, honestly, if they could just do a sequel about her family, I would be good.
Oh, man, so much Boston.
Yeah, it was it's an untapped market of hilarity that I think you only really get to see laughed at in like Ted, you know. but it was so good. Michael Rappaport is a fuck up younger brother was good. Bill Burr's in this. I had no idea. I didn't see him in any previews or anything, but he's in there, and they're just they're so Boston, man. They have a running gag where they have paintings in the house. And it's Boston sports, but Jesus is playing them. It's like Jesus hitting a home run against the Yankees, Jesus dunking on somebody, Jesus playing as a Bruin. Like, I enjoyed those a lot. There was a Michael McDonald who played the Julian, the albino. I thought his character was funny to laugh at because Melissa McCarthy is constantly riffing on people through that entire movie. And if it's like, I was kind of glad I enjoyed it in a theater that wasn't crowded, because this movie did make $40 million over the weekend. I enjoyed it because I was able to hear her like extra, add-ons to her jokes. And like, there's a point where they're arguing and everybody's being loud, and she's talking to the albino and he's getting like really upset and yelling at her. And she's like, well, calm down. You look kind of pale. And it's just like she kind of deadpans it, delivers it like very understated. And it was me and one other lady in the theater, and we both started laughing really hard. So I didn't even feel ashamed. Let me think. I think that's about it that worked for me, man. The action and stuff, it was like comedic action. It's not actual badass action. Some of the, physical comedy really worked for me, especially, the scene with the chase in the beginning, like Andrew was alluding to. And also the last scene where they're tied up and they keep taking the knife and putting it in and out of, Sandra Bullock's leg. Oh. That worked for me. Like, it was so fucking stupid. It was like, I gotta put this knife back in. You're like, what? You know, I don't know. It got really, really silly. And I enjoyed that I think it was better going silly than trying to be serious. And it was better. Oh, the last thing, so much profanity. Thank you. This is how you use a rated R movie. You know, I'm not a guy, like, I like rated R comedies more than PG-13 comedies. I don't even like.
Me too.
Like, I've gotten to the point where I've stopped liking, the cutesy, like, Pixar movies and stuff like that. I like it when a movie is like, we're going to try to be funny for adults, and we're going to use adult language to make a point. And it wasn't some type of vulgarity where like titties are on the screen every couple minutes or dicks. It wasn't even like that. They just were like, we're going to curse because cursing can be funny in a lot of these situations. And Melissa McCarthy's and her family's use of just cursing. So good. Oh man. And then, like I said, picking on a Boston accent was dope too. Now let's talk about what didn't work for this movie. Karen, I think you already said what didn't work for you is you had no idea it was rated R.
I didn't know. And like I said, if I would have known that, I probably would have wanted to go see it with you.
Yeah.
But because I didn't know, I hate movies. I think it kind of tricked me into not watching it, because a lot of times you see these movies and I assumed it was PG-13, because most of these movies do the PG-13 thing and they're fucking terrible. So if you're going to go out, go all out. And it sounded like they really did.
Yeah. In the trailer, there's a scene where she is looking at, the Spanx of, Sandra Bullock, and she's like, what are these? Like leg Spanx? What is it supposed to do? It's supposed to hold things in. It's like, do you have like a medical condition or something? It's like, no, I don't have medical conditions. Like, well, you really need to ventilate that down there. Like, you don't need to, it's going to get hot. She's like, it gets ventilated fine. She's like, I'm a couple feet away from it. I can feel the heat coming off of it right now. And she's like, look, just help me get it off. And then she goes, well, what else is gonna come fucking popping out? And just fucking in that sentence makes that way funnier than what happened in the trailer, which is what's gonna come popping out. Like,
yeah, because they had to edit it.
Yeah, but the cursing did make it better for me. Andrew, man, what didn't work for you? Because you say you didn't really like this film.
There was a lot of it that didn't work for me. Honestly, I don't know. I just didn't find most of it very funny. And I actually just saw it a couple hours ago. So I've been trying to think about it and figure out why I didn't find most of it funny. And I think a lot of it is just that it felt too written at times. It felt a bit too scripted. I mean, this is the movie's directed by Paul Feig, and his last movie was Bridesmaids, which I really liked and I thought was really hilarious. And I laughed so much during Bridesmaids. I think I laughed out loud maybe once or twice during the heat. And honestly, I think the weak link here is Sandra Bullock. And she's trying, and she's doing kind of an okay job at what the script asked her to do. But as far as I'm aware, she doesn't have much of like an improv or comedy background. And if you compare this to something like Bridesmaids, where it was Kristen Wiig, Maya Rudolph, you know, a lot of people that were from SNL or have a lot of background in sketch comedy and improv comedy, so much of that movie just felt really spontaneous, like they were just kind of riffing on the spot. And there was definitely less of that in this movie, I think. I just didn't feel like Sandra Bullock and Melissa McCarthy quite had the right amount of chemistry that they needed. There was one line that I remember that made me laugh out loud, and it's when Melissa McCarthy goes to order a drink in the club, and it's like $14 for a shot of whiskey, and she just says something like, "Well, what are you gonna serve it in Jesus's shoe?"
Yeah,
or something. And just the way she says it, you can tell it just feels really improvised on the spot.
Yeah, it did.
And that's what makes it hilarious. And I just didn't feel like a lot of the jokes felt that spontaneous.
Yeah, Melissa was riffing for sure. Like there's scenes where you can tell she had three or four tags in that, you know, for those scenes. Mm-hmm. And even in a couple of them, like even in that scene that Andrew just described, she says like three or four things right there. And you can tell that they're just like, you know what, we gotta leave that in. That landed. Yeah. We gotta leave the next one in. You're like, I'm sure they didn't write, hey, let's write five different ways that you take this shot, you know, but, you know, she does have a background in comedy like that. So, she was killing it with the riffs.
Yeah. And I just didn't feel like Sandra Bullock was quite at that level. I don't know if you saw, I think, what was that movie that came out last winter? This is 40. Melissa McCarthy shows up for, she steals the show in that movie. She shows up for like one scene, and then over the credits, they play like the outtakes of her scene. And it is literally just her just riffing for like 5 minutes on like this one thing and just talking nonstop, just keeping a straight face. And she's really, really gifted at improvising. And I feel like if you had if you had an actor opposite her that was also really good at improvising, you could get some hilarious stuff, but it just never really connected in that way for me.
Yeah, it was. Now see, the thing for me is I bought Sandy Bullock as being uptight and straight laced in the beginning, which made her like, when she started to gravitate towards the loosening up more, like I bought it more because I think she does do the uptight part, like, you know, pretty well. Like she can play the straight shit,
right? She can play the straight stuff just fine.
Yeah.
But I was thinking back, and maybe it's because I had Bridesmaids on my brain, but I was thinking, okay, well, what if you cast Kristen Wiig as kind of the straight uptight woman in this role? And I think it would actually work a lot better because she can kind of do the uptight thing, but then she also is really good at improvising and can go really goofy and ridiculous when she needs to.
You know, that would be pretty, that would be pretty interesting to see, because I wonder if I would reject it because the straight part mattered a lot to me to kind of make it an odd couple. You know what I mean? Like,
Right.
They never really, like, if it would have got to the point where I felt like they were just kind of riffing off each other and had kind of goofing it up, I don't know that I would have bought it as much. Cause even in, I don't know how you feel about the other guys, but I like it a lot. But,
The other guys, I wasn't a really big fan of the other guys, okay. But I think I probably preferred that to the Heat just because the other guys made me laugh more. There were moments in the other guys that were just so over the top and just so random and goofy that you can't help but laugh.
Yes.
Whether it's, you know, The Rock jumping off a building.
Yeah. Gator, the pimp, the part where you find out Will Smith used to be a pimp.
Right.
Will Ferrell.
I think the thing that made me laugh the hardest in that movie is just Will Ferrell riffing about sharks, I think it is, maybe, or something in the water that kills people. I can't even remember what it was.
Yeah.
But
the reason I'm comparing them is that I thought Mark Wahlberg did such a good job as the straight guy for that movie and making it comedic by playing it so straight. You know, like, it's like, for me, I was laughing at him because I feel like the straight guy is essential to these type of movies, because in the actual, what they're parodying, the other, you know, buddy cop movies that are trying to be serious, they always have the straight laced guy who, like, you know, it's like you need him, and you need me to buy it for at least 40 minutes. Like, if at some point I'm just like, well, this dude's just as funny as that guy, they don't feel as odd couple-y to me.
Yeah.
Like, I felt like Sandra Bullock, when she did quote unquote loosen up, like when she walks in that room, she's still playing it straight. And that is what that character would do. It wouldn't become like a funny character. It would become a straight person trying to be funny. So like when she walks in the room and they're talking bad about Melissa McCarthy and she tries to tell off this entire room and completely fucking fails at it, when she's like she just ends it with like, you guys are a bunch of shit dick jerks. Like, I'm laughing because it's like, yeah, you don't become cool because you know Melissa McCarthy. You're just, a person that is, you know, used to be, is an uptight, straight laced person that is now broadening your horizon. And then also there were some emotional quote unquote scenes where you're kind of supposed to feel bad for her because she's like grew up in an orphanage. And she basically borrows her neighbor's cat and she has pictures of it in her house. Like, it's her fucking cat.
Wow.
And then, like, you know, in the beginning, you're thinking like, oh, what a lonely chick. She just only goes home to her cat and watches TV. And somebody's like, you know, Mittens, come here. And he's like, all right, go back home. And the cat comes off the couch and goes to his actual owner's house. So she doesn't even have a fucking cat. It is, I don't know, man. I was enjoying the
stuff with the cat worked for me. And that scene at the end where she does kind of tell them all off, that did work for me.
Oh, my God.
Because it was so ridiculous.
Yes. Melissa McCarthy travels back to wherever she originally came from. I forget if it's DC or something, but she travels back to or maybe it's New York, but she travels back to Ashburn's actual like home and her apartment, stakes her apartment out because they have a conversation where she sees her with a picture of her cat. She goes, where's your cat? And she's like, my cat ran away and lost in. And Melissa McCarthy just kills this scene because it's like an emotional scene a little bit, but it's also funny. She's just like, fucking jerk cat leaving you all alone. Your empty house with your fucking yearbooks that's only been signed by two teachers and like, aww, your shit life. And like, just like, it's just so funny. And that's like kind of a throwaway scene like halfway through the movie or so when they're trying to start the bonding process. And so at the end, after, you know, they've beaten the bad guys and all this shit, she shows up with a box at the front door, opens it up, the cat's in, and, she gives it to Sandra Bullock, and Sandra's kind of just looking at the cat like, ah, well, this is, interesting. And Melissa McCarthy takes about 2 seconds to go, this isn't your fucking cat, is it? No. She's like, you made me steal somebody's cat, like, she was trying to be nice, but she basically stole someone's cat. And it was just, like, I don't know, man. Like that, like Andrew said, that was a funny, like, scene for me.
I don't know. There was just nothing in this movie that approached. Okay, I looked it up. It's the tuna versus lion conversation in The Other Guys, which had me on the floor. Mm. Or the bridal shop scene in Bridesmaids, mm-hmm. where Maya Rudolph suddenly has to go take a shit in the street. That, mm. there was nothing in The Heat that sort of just approached that level of over the top ridiculousness. There was a scene that I think they were trying to go for that, mm-hmm. in a different way, and it was a really interesting scene that I don't think it quite worked. And that's the scene when Sandra Bullock gives a guy a tracheotomy.
Yeah, yeah, that did. You're right. They definitely went for it in that moment to show like she doesn't always know what the fuck she's talking about. By the way, the scene immediately after that with the emergency ambulance driver, where he basically is telling her like, yeah, how about next time you just put your fingers in the guy's mouth and take the food out? And she's like, no, it's a tracheotomy. I know what I'm talking about. And he's like, yeah, you shouldn't have done that. She's like, well, you're not a doctor. He's like, you're not a doctor. She's like that. Yeah. Like, I don't know, man. I maybe it's because of the ideas I have about Sandra Bullock, but I just didn't know she could be that funny, man. It was funny to me. And it's, in a way, it's harder to do that role as the straight funny person. Cause you can never, if you break character and become just like a clown, then you never really were the straight-laced person. But I can also see how that could be prohibitive in, you know, laughing at somebody. Cause it's like, well, you didn't, you know, get crazy enough for me. You know, I can understand it. Yeah, anything else that didn't work?
That scene, was the only scene in the movie that I think was just really got a visceral reaction,
yeah.
from people just because of how gross it was.
So gross.
And how that's I think is why it made me think of the scene in Bridesmaids where Melissa McCarthy's just taking a dump in the sink and then Maya Rudolph's running out in the middle of the street, just because it's the kind of scene that you watch and you're laughing, but at the same time you're kind of cringing and covering your eyes a little bit just because it's so over the top and kind of gross.
That's a good point. That's a good point. It didn't have that type of scene. As far as it didn't work.
Yeah, I think that's what they were going for, and I appreciated that they got that reaction from me. I just didn't think it was quite as funny as it needed to.
What'd you think about Rojas, the guy, the spoken words, the drug dealer, the black dude that they accidentally threw on his top of his own car?
Well, that it's shown in the trailers.
Yeah.
I did like the opening chase scene, as we talked about before, where like she throws the watermelon at him and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But the other stuff, you know, we had seen most of that in the trailer already.
Okay. What didn't work for me is the reveal of the final villain being like Adam or just some random dude. There's no foreshadowing to him being evil. There's like they have the misleading like this albino is evil thing, which is kind of funny. And then when they like when he gets killed and they're like, so the albino wasn't evil, I was wrong. He's like, no, he's just a misogynist dick. I was like, that was pretty good. But I never really bought that either one of those dudes were the villain. I felt like if they would have had a little bit more of, like, you need more of a reveal at the end where I'm like, oh my God, it's him, you know? And I even would have accepted the cliche, like, the guy whose position she was taking was the actual bad guy, you know? But, I thought that was a little weak. I thought the entire point with Marlon Wayans as a love interest was fucking terrible. And it's not because he was the love interest, but because they didn't really go there. Like, and this is kind of a Hollywood thing where it's like, you can't have a black dude with a white woman on the screen as a love interest. But it's like, they clearly were leading towards it. They were hinting towards it. And they end with a kind of like, oh, isn't this something? This could be a thing. But I feel like they clearly didn't do the, love interest part of it because they wanted to be like, well, we can't have this black dude kissing Sandra Bullock on fucking, you know, on a movie screen.
I actually didn't mind that. And I think it's probably because, you know, normally you would just expect for there to be some sort of romantic subplot between yeah. them where they go out on a date and she loosens up a little bit. And you know, we've seen that all before. And I also feel like there wouldn't be a whole lot of room for comedy with that. So I didn't mind the fact that they didn't really do that, and they just sort of hinted at the end, like, hey, maybe if there's a sequel.
Yeah, but Marlon,
be together.
Number one, Marlon Wayans is a funny actor.
I actually thought he was really good in the few scenes that he had.
So I could have used some more Marlon Wayans. Also, in all these movies that they're like, you know, kind of doing a parody of, they do have the undeserved love interest angle. In every, like, you know, there's always the, well, really, would any woman want to be with this dick? You know, would any woman really need the Mel Gibson or any woman really need, to get with Arnold or whatever the fuck? But they always have one of them get with someone. There's always the Crockett and Tubbs chick, right? But there really was no love interest in this movie. Like, Melissa McCarthy's the womanizer.
Melissa McCarthy had her group of guys.
Yeah, she's a womanizer, but that's not a love interest. She's a woman, you know, a manizer, I guess. I don't know what you call that. But there's always like the womanizer dude doesn't get a chick. And then the straight laced dude always finds like the one diamond in the rough chick that you're like, oh man, you really should go out on a date with her or something.
Y'all should do something. Get a life.
Yeah. But you know, I just kept expecting there to be like a kiss or something like that. But Hollywood's not ready for that, I don't think. Let me think if there was anything else that I didn't like. It might have been about it, man. I really enjoyed this movie. I thought it was really funny. It really hit all the parody jokes that I need from a movie like this. I thought that the guy who played the police captain was good too. Captain Woods. I don't know what else he's even been in, but I gotta start checking for him because he was playing a real good emasculated captain. That was tired of dealing with shit. Also the scene he has with in the beginning with Sandra Bullock, where he immediately sizes her up as a fucking douchebag. And he's just like, well, fuck, I've been getting run around by Mullins. Now you're going to run me around. And she's like, just take me to the such and such room. And he's just walking. He's like, Ashburn, this way, agent, this way. And like, she keeps going the wrong way. Like, cause it's like, she's so gung-ho and thinks she knows everything. She doesn't even fucking know a way around the building. And he doesn't get mad. He just has this like, oh, God, I'll be so glad when I can retire type of moment. But, yeah, I don't know. I liked it a lot. Let's go ahead and give it a rankings. Karen, on 0 to 5, more epic than Love, Jones, what do you rate this movie?
My rating don't count because I didn't go see the movie. But if I would have seen the movie, imaginary, figuratively speaking, I probably would have liked it. I probably would have gave it like a 4.
Okay. All right. That is Karen's not seeing the movie. 4 people. Andrew, who saw the movie, what would you give it on a ranking of 0 to 5 more epic than Love, Jones?
I would give it a 2. Didn't care for it too much. But Melissa McCarthy, man, she's so talented and she's trying so hard. And there were the moments that do work in the movie are largely because of her. So I'll give it 2 points for her.
All right. I will give this movie a 4 out of 5, full price opening weekend. This movie made a lot of money for the movie that it is. I don't think a lot of people expected it to make $40 million over the weekend. Two, it's rated R and it's a comedy and it's not the bullshit like American Honeymoon rated R, where it's just like 3 pairs of titties and a bunch of bad jokes. I actually enjoyed the profanity. I think people that listen to our podcast enjoy a little profanity with their comedy. I think you'll like it. If you like those buddy cop, like corny movies that we grew up watching, I think you'll like this too. McCarthy does carry the movie. She knocks it out the park. The family of McCarthy, man, they gotta bring all of them back and they gotta do like more. I need them to do more next time because I thought they were, the short scenes with them were really, really good to me. And, Sandra Bullock, man, I didn't know she had it in her, man. I was very impressed. I thought she was very funny. And I didn't know she could be that funny. And I definitely didn't think, like, I still thought she was gonna do this whole movie without cursing. Like, when she started cursing, I was like, oh, really? You're really going for it, aren't you?
You're going on in.
Yeah. Like, the American sweetheart shit, huh? Well, So yeah, I give it a 4 out of 5, full price opening weekend. And I hear there's a sequel that's already been announced. So, I'm in the theater for that shit too, but I'm sure they'll probably fuck that up. All right, man. So check us out next time on the Blackout Tips, premium with our spoil movie reviews. Go out and check out Andrew, on, he's, like I said, he's on filmgeekradio.com. Also Cinema Fix, which, like I said, I was on. And they review movies all the time, man. So until next time, we're out. Peace.
Get your act together. My life's a movie. I leave you in that act forever.
Life's like a movie. My life's like a movie. My life's like a movie.